Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And this is our first blab podcast, if that's what you call it. So if anybody is listening, please mute yourself until I have you come on, because there's a lot of background noise. Thank you. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today, so stay tuned. My co-host, Adrienne Gruberg, founder of the Caregiver Space, with over 120,000 caregivers following her. Wow. And our guest today, certified job and career transition coach, Daryl Gurney, will be discussing no longer a caregiver, transitioning to the new normal. And that's a good topic, even if you're still a caregiver today, because I know we don't like to think about it. But that day is coming, whether we're ready for it or not. So you do not want to miss this show. Now, if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Oh, yeah, and they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, learn to listen from the airlines. Remember, every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency, to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. And the reason they tell you that is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Wow. We talk about grief and loss here also, and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. Yeah, you can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show, my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know it sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's really all about you. So go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregiverscaregiver.com, and take our short quiz that will assess if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I'm going to email you my very first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardship, absolutely free. What a deal. Hey, I want to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, Deborah Kagan. She helps women, especially caregivers, conquer self-doubt and indecision to step into their full power, love who they are, and live a turn-on life. Her interview, as well as this one and all of them, are on our website as well, caregiverscaregiver.com. All right, enough of that. Daryl, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for patiently sitting through all that introduction stuff for our new-time listeners.
You're very welcome, and just for you to know, Alexandra's on the line, too, so you got both of them.
She is, and who is Alexandra?
Well, I'll let her tell you.
Hi, I'm Alexandra, and I am Daryl's partner in creating and bringing out the work that we are bringing out of the Back 40.
I see. Well, that's cool. So whoever wants to take over the question, you just take over. I don't know who is best to answer them, but
I'll defer the hard ones to Alexandra.
Well, the first question I would like is, and maybe you can do this separately, just quickly, about a minute apiece. Just tell us you know, who exactly is Daryl and who exactly is Alexandra? And just briefly introduce yourself.
Sure. I have spent the last 30 years working with people in their lives as a coach. A big part of that has been as a career coach, because that's a big aspect of people's lives. And through that work with people over the last 30 years, and kind of seeing that what's really at the crux of everything for people is purpose. I think earlier in life, your career is your career, and it's like getting somewhere and making money and having a family in the car and all that. But I've noticed that as people get into their 40s and 50s, the big thing people want to really feel is a purpose that they're fulfilling. And so I come from this background as a career coach and a life coach, and then moving more into a purposeful back 40 coach. So that's who I am.
Alexandra?
Yes. So my background is in human resources leadership and organizational development. I've also worked as a leadership coach and a business coach and executive coach for a few years. And a lot of that in corporate world, some of it is consulting. And as Daryl and I are both in our own back 40 and we're creating what that looks like for us, it just is a very exciting time, and I'm noticing how exciting that time is for us and how that could be exciting for anybody in that midlife time age. And sometimes it's not, and we meet so many people who are not excited, who are winding down, who are almost sad, and something is missing. And what we are here to do is say, hey, your life is still ahead of you. Anything is still possible.
Yes, and we're very fortunate to have Adrian here, because she is living proof that it's possible to take your life and move on. And she was a caregiver, and I'll have her tell her story in a moment. But first of all, I think if a caregiver finds themselves no longer a caregiver, they're most likely right in the middle of the grief process, right? And before they can even process what this new normal is, they've got a lot of baggage to deal with, right, Adrian?
Well, for sure. I mean, it's almost 5 years for me since my husband died. And I knew all along that I, you know, through the process of caregiving, I was preparing myself for that loss. There was a lot of pre-grieving and a lot of thinking about what I wanted to do after he passed.
So you guys deal with grief as well. Usually a midlife crisis does kind of send someone into the grief process, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, midlife crisis has lots of different flavors to it. It can be financial. It can be relationship. It can be death. There's all kinds of things that can bring it about. Kind of where we come from, actually, is that very often what people call midlife crisis, we actually call midlife opportunity. Now, Adrian, I'm going to, you know, kind of defer to you on this. But when you said that you were doing some pre-grieving, and then there was like, okay, after all of this passed, what can I, you know, kind of create from here? We actually have it that midlife crisis is an initiation. It's kind of an initiation into what's next. And as horrible as it is to lose someone, we have it that all of it has been designed to fulfill on a purpose. And Adrian, I don't know. I don't know if you wouldn't be going the direction you're going right now, have 120,000 followers, and be making the difference that you're making had all of that not occurred exactly as it did, you know?
No, that's absolutely correct. It was while I was caregiving that I knew, I began to knew what I would do once Steve passed and become a caregiver to caregivers, basically. But I knew what kind of resource I wanted to create, and it was exciting. So even though it's 5 years, there's still some grieving that's being done. It comes up all the time, but I have a whole new life and I'm basically happy. So even though I lost my husband, I have recreated myself.
And she certainly has. So what does the back 40 mean? If for those of you who I assume that's a golf metaphor, you can explain that.
Well, that's an issue with our branding, I guess, because it's not a golf metaphor. That's the back nine. The back 40.
That shows you how much I know about golf.
We're about Texas ranches, okay?
So, oh, that's right. The back 40, the acres. Okay.
Yeah.
The back 40 is a metaphor, Dave, to basically, you know, the back 40 is this big uncultivated patch of land behind the ranch, and it has infinite growth potential. And what we say is similarly that our back 40, we still have infinite growth potential. As a matter of fact, we have it that that's what we came for. That a lot of times in the West, you have it that the, you know, people get into their 50s, 60s or something, they're going to start winding down. We basically have it that the first 40 years, 50 years, is just R&D. It's just research and development. It's an opportunity to learn who you really are, what you really, your passions are, your tendencies. And if you can mine that first half for what you've learned out of all your laboratory experiments, we actually call them lab experiments, then you can actually design a purposeful second half. And just to go back again to Adrian there, you know, Adrian, losing your husband is a horrible thing. We had someone, and I'll ask Alexander, because I think Alexander remembers the actual impact more, but one of our attendees at the Back 40 Infused program lost her son in the war in Afghanistan. And so, you know, we don't say any of that's good. What we do say, though, is that what if it was all designed, and what if designed it, and what if there was a bigger purpose for you now to come out of it with? And Alexandra, I don't know if you remember in the program,
yes,
what it was she,
yes,
saw for herself that out of that, where she was able to have more power than being a victim to losing her son.
I remember she said that prior to being in the course with us and engaging in the conversation with us, and it was a very courageous conversation for her to engage in, she found herself being stuck and blocked just by seeing her son's face, and then she couldn't move on. She couldn't take the actions she needed to do. She couldn't move around her day. She was just stuck in that. And in engaging in the conversation, getting the insights and then the breakthrough she got, she was able to, when she got a visual of her son, when she saw his face, almost get in some sort of connection with him, be present to who he was, and get past being stuck. And she started taking on actions that would honor her son, that would continue his legacy. She started doing things that she needed to do that would also forward who her son has been. So keeping him alive in those ways rather than being stuck in inaction.
You know, caregivers are an interesting breed. And I don't know if you guys have thought about, you know, since our audience is narrowed for your purpose to caregivers, I mean, this is really their second midlife crisis. The first one was when they became a caregiver. You know, everything was fine. They were going along their way. They had a career. They had a beautiful house. They had a spouse, perhaps, kids. And then all of a sudden, a parent, for example, needs them. And for whatever reason, they put their parents' needs above the needs of their wife, above the needs of their family, above the needs of their job. Next thing you know, the wife left them. The kids won't talk to them. They lost their house. They lost their job. They're destitute, but they're a caregiver and they're taking care of the parents. I mean, is that the experience you've found, Adrienne? I see you shaking your head.
Well, I know many, many, many of the people that follow us have experienced that. The alienation process is very, very painful because they feel like they're doing what they should be doing. They feel like they're doing what they want to be doing, but just fall away. They lose a great deal, and figuring out how to get it back is a very big problem.
Yeah. All of a sudden, when they are not going to be a caregiver anymore, let's say the parent died, you would think that would be good news and say, oh, great, now I can, you know, look at that back 40. But now they find themselves depressed and they don't know why. They find themselves kind of lost because their identity now for the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, however long it's been, has been a caregiver. Now it's almost like they don't know how to stop being a caregiver. And many of them just go into a nursing home and start caregiving strangers. You know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. It depends on the person and what they need. They're just doing it because they don't know what else to do. So what's your response to that, guys? Adrian first, then Alexandra. Sorry.
I was just saying that becoming a professional caregiver in a residence is a very viable solution once they've lost someone, that they've really learned what the caring experience is. And care is the key word. There's an attitude that a real caregiver has, not just taking care of somebody, it's caring for them.
Yeah, so I think they have to be doing it for the right reasons, you know. You have to do everything for the right reasons. There's nothing worse than doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, because that's just not right. Alexandra?
Yes, and that's exactly the point that I wanted to make, is it's a great thing to do to become a caregiver and go into a nursing home and be a caregiver there, if it's a conscious choice rather than the only way I can see out for me next. So what happens... Mm-hmm. For example, in the Back 40 Infused program, is somebody who has been a caregiver could see for themselves what it is that really lights them up, what it is that really inspires them, how is it that they really see that their great future, how they want their future to be, without limitations of the past, without the limitation of having their identity be one of a caregiver, not knowing, not remembering what anything else is like. So then they make a choice. They may still make a choice to become an ongoingly a caregiver, but it's a conscious, empowered choice versus that's the only thing I know to do.
And if I can,
or they may choose something else.
Yeah, and if I can throw in there, so, you know, Alexandra is basically saying that they're consciously choosing versus being at the effect of their past. And so that's kind of, you know, one of the biggest things we take on in the Back 40 is, if you're going to live a second half of play, passion, and purpose, what's radical about it, and that's why we talk about supporting people into their radical second half. What's radical is that if it's not at the effect of the past, if your next 40 years could not be at the effect of the past, and here's the big kicker, is the only way that you're not at the effect of the past is if you go back and look at it from the point of view that you caused it all. If you created it all, and you created it so that you could learn, so that you could become this that you want to be, so that you could find your self-expression. Like Adrian, again, just kudos to you with what you've done with losing your husband. You know, but if you can be at cause of it, then you're not at the effect of it. And I'll just tell you how this started, Dave, because, you know, it's not that I had a parent or something that went ill, that I was a caregiver, but I think midlife crisis and this stuff that happens to people in their 40s, something's usually going to happen in your 40s or 50s. Stuff happens all the time, but it's those big things that happen in your 40s and 50s. But at age 42, I was sitting in a chair looking at my son sleeping in my bed. He was 8 years old. And he was sleeping in my bed because my parents were over, because they were lending me more money to fight a $500,000 custody suit so that I could maintain my half custody of my son. Now, again, we won't get into the family law system here, okay? But the point is, you've got stuff happening to people in all forms, and getting caught up in the family law system, I was in a $500,000 custody suit. I was broke. I had tons of debts, and I was sitting there at 42 going, wow, is this what my life has brought me to? And it's that point of destitution, that point of ultimate depression, that you, it's like this, you have a choice. You can either go the path of depression, go the path of woe is me, or you can take it that, hey, there's something possible even in the face of this, if I can rewire my mind around this. And that's when the idea of the back 40 came in, and I thought, wow, what if everything has been R&D? And what if everything that lies ahead of me is really what I came for? Then I'm not going to be at the effect of the past. I'm going to look at it like, thank you for putting me here in this situation so I can realize it.
Okay, so we finally reached the gold of the message, and we're going to take a break. Hold that thought, and we'll talk about the hands-on, the practical, okay, how do we do this? Because I assume you have a process and a system. So don't go away. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Daryl Gurney. And if everyone is wondering who that guy is in the lower left-hand corner, that is our engineer, Blade. Hi, Blade.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone.
He's kind of a caregiver, too, actually. We heard all about him last week.
Neighbors. Plenty of them, too. Plenty of neighbors. At least two or three at this point.
Yeah. We have to figure out what to do about this background noise, Blade. You're the engineer. I'm putting that on your shoulders.
Oh, no. I think it's coming from Adrian somewhere, but everyone else sounds okay, I think. But
no, there's nothing going on here. When she barks, she barks. You know it's her.
So maybe when everybody gets a microphone and a pair of headphones, which Adrian, I think, will have them by next week. I heard a rumor. Cool.
Yeah.
So, Alexandra, explain what you can do for that caregiver who's like a mess and they're fried to a crisp and they're torn. Half of them are happy and glad that it's over. The other half are just devastated that it's over. And they're just trying to figure out how to move forward because they're kind of paralyzed and they're confused. And we all know that confused people do nothing, right?
Right. Exactly. Well, confusion paralyzes any action. So if they are in the INFUSE program, they really start looking at everything that's happened in their life, including becoming the caregiver, including the entire time that they were caregiver, and then the person they're caring for passing as almost like a laboratory experiment of what they needed to learn, what they needed to get for themselves out of that process. So the one thing that happens, they get in peace with what's so. So they get out of the confusion mode, they get out of the paralysis, and they see the perfect design of their life, however it is, with all the tragedy and all the challenges and all the difficulties, they see the perfect design of their life. And then once they see that, they start creating what their future is going to be like, not based on the past or how they know themselves to be or what they think they could do or what they think is possible for them, but really based on what inspires them, what moves them, what would really be a radical, exciting, and passionate future for them. And they get clear that no matter their age, they actually can have that future starting now.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. The Bible says it, and I believe it. And from my 40 years experience of being married and 20 years of being a caregiver, everything happens for a reason. And I learn from everything. And, you know, there's an old saying, there's a chapter in my book that says, I wouldn't want to repeat it for $1 million, but I wouldn't. I always forget. I always mess this up. Basically saying, I'm glad I went through what I went through. You know, I wouldn't trade that for $1 million, but I wouldn't want to repeat it for $1 billion, you know, because it's kind of a double-edged sword, but it's made me who I am today. I've lost a lot of money in the crash 8-9 years ago. I would not want to repeat that because, you know, it's a lot of money, but I've learned so much, and some things are, like the Visa commercial says, priceless.
But see, the thing is, Dave, what you're doing, you know, to some degree, you know, people just rationalize or they just deal with the past and it's like, okay, I'll just move on. But when you can really like you're doing, like look to see who you are now based on it and look to see like what's possible based on that. And again, I just keep coming back to, if you can be cause of it rather than a victim of it, then you can actually cause what goes on from here on out too. If you're a victim of what's happened in your past, then you're just, that's a pattern that keeps repeating. You know, you're at
the end. It's all part of the big plan. I mean, you know, what happens that is bad, you lose the money, you get the cancer diagnosis, your wife left you, whatever it is, bankruptcy.
Yep.
That is designed to move you from point A to point B, and nothing else would be able to do it except this tragedy. And most people who have tragedies in life call them blessings. At least the ones who are, you know, have a semblance of sanity do. The ones who are kind of stuck in denial and are going backwards don't.
And our go ahead. Go ahead, Alex.
So what we actually support people in doing is, there is no blame in being stuck in denial because it's just challenging when you're dealing with it yourself. So what we do is we actually support people in moving from whatever they're in, if they're in denial, if they're in grief, wherever, whatever space they're in, into looking at it as a blessing and then creating their life going forward.
And to give you a sense of the book, isn't published yet. We're doing our programs before. Well, the book's written, but it's not published. But we want to do programs because we're coming up with lots of stories. I mean, we had a 72-year-old woman in our program say that now she's got what she needs to build her playful second half. It's like at 72, you know.
But so she found romance, is what you're saying?
Hey, you know, she actually looks the part too. But the point is, just so you get a sense of what it's based on, the book's called The Back 40, Seven Critical Embraces for Life's Radical Second Half. So what are we embracing? Well, we've been talking about the past. So one thing there is to do is to embrace the past, and you embrace it by taking on the idea, the thought that, what if I caused it all? And what if it is all a blessing? What did I come out of it with? What are my self-expression directives? Then we embrace the present. So a lot of your listeners, you know, they're right now in it still. It's like, how can we embrace the present, you know, in a similar cause kind of way? Then we embrace what are your gifts and your values, because who you are now, especially after 20 years as a caregiver, Dave, your values and your gifts are way beyond what they were 20, 30 years ago. You've learned more than you ever learned in all of your schooling and all of your time in aerospace and all that stuff. You know, you've learned a world. So giving people an opportunity to take inventory. Who are you now? What are your gifts and values now? And then we embrace the initiation, like whether it's the caregiver period or the death, you know, that's an initiation into what's next. Then we embrace your purpose, and then we embrace a presence. And you talked about the Bible, you know, not to get religious, but we do think that when you're working with something bigger than you, it's, you know, whether you're Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, it's when something's working through you, then it gives you that oomph to carry that purpose forward that left to your own devices, you won't be able to. So those are the seven embraces. I just want to give you a picture of that.
We want people to know that this is all about them. I don't want anything from this other than knowing that I'm helping them go through a very difficult period, that they can get through it, and whatever point they're at in it, I'm also supporting them on the site. And our articles are written by some of the best people in the field, and we've seen a lot of growth in our followers. It's interesting. It's an interesting process that I've taken so much from what I used to do and used it to create a successful brand for myself. Yeah. And I'm not looking to make money at it, you know.
And it's driving me. And you have found romance too, by the way, right?
And I have found romance too, yes.
Who did you saw him going up the stairs? I saw him going up the stairs.
That was him, yeah. He's not here now, he just left.
But look at all Adrian, look at all that possibility though. And what if everybody who, whether it was a $500,000 custody suit or the death of a loved one or a financial devastation, Dave, losing money in the markets and all that, what if everyone could, rather than being stopped and rather than, you know, kind of riding out the rest of life with that woe is me of what happened to me, what if we could all take it all as perfect for what we're now here to do? Look at what you're fulfilling now, you know?
Yeah. I feel I've been very lucky, but I feel that my late husband also contributed to that because he was encouraging me, you know, talking about he wants me to have a life after, and he had a couple of caveats about who I could and couldn't go out with. That was his main concern. But as far as
that allowed? I don't know.
It was
is that allowed, or he comes back and haunts you?
I think so. He always just turns up every now and then. You know, he's right. Very present. But I'm lucky that I had that support to know that I'm going to go through this.
Okay.
The pre-grieving in my case helped. I'm working now with
anticipatory grief, right?
Right. I'm working with someone now who lost her husband just like that. He said, I don't feel very well. Boom. Right in front of the elevator, just dropped it.
Wow.
And it's facing the experience in two different ways. She lost her husband one way, and I said, okay, which is better? You know, being prepared or not going through that that craziness of caring for someone so long.
Phoenix, welcome. You have 5 minutes. What can you share with us?
Oh, my God. I don't know how many people are put in the situation to where they are a caregiver and they are being cared for themselves.
Yeah, the caregiver's caregiver.
Exactly.
You are a caregiver.
I am a caregiver.
And your husband's a caregiver. He's caring for you.
Exactly.
Wow.
I have been sick. I was injured from a medical device when I was 30. It was 11 years ago. It has escalated to the point where I can't even drive. My husband has to take off work, take me to all my doctor's appointments, take me to my mom's house to help her, because now my dad can't leave my mom by herself. I can't sit. I mean, I'm laying here at my seat. You know, I can't sit for more than 10 minutes. Yet, like, you know, everybody was saying when y'all first started how caregivers don't put themselves first. Despite my pain, despite what I did, I went to every doctor's appointment with my mother. I went to every chemotherapy appointment with my mom. Because my dad is 81. So he needed help, and I'm the only one here. I'm the only one here to do it, and it fell on me. And you know, my husband was like, "You need to take care of yourself. You need to get." And I was like, "I can't. I don't have time." You know, and it's been a really big challenge for us. And we've now that she's been put on hospice. She got put on hospice 2 weeks ago, and I'm going over there, I'm running over there, and Dad's doing this, and I'm trying to
let him go. Can you visualize, I'm sorry for interrupting, but can you visualize, can you even imagine or perceive in your mind that one day this is going to be over, that this too will pass? And then have you thought about what you're going to do then? You know, what's your plan for you and your husband? Because life's not over, right, for you guys?
I feel like life is over because I can't do nothing. I feel like life is over, but that's only because, like I said, I can't do nothing. I mean, I couldn't even, I have a 23-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I couldn't finish watching him play the last 3 years of his ball games. So, but actually, I had to go to UCLA for surgery twice now. I had to go again, and I fell in love with El Segundo area. I know you're from L.A.
L.A. Airport.
Yeah, because we stayed at Doc Weiler RV Park, and my husband works civil service for the government here at our Air Force base, so he can get transferred out there. And we were originally going to come home in 2014, get our stuff, or get transferred out there, and then get our, you know, move. But as soon as I got home, she got the cancer diagnosis. And, you know, I told my husband, I cannot leave with her having cancer. You know, and I just told him, I said, I have to wait till she's gone.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. I mean, we're going to move. My youngest son don't like it, but we're going to move out there. Give me a change of scenery, a new whole life.
That's everything. Quite a story. And it's a very common story, isn't it, Adrian?
Yes, it is.
We speak to caregivers all the time, and some stories are even worse than yours, if you can imagine.
Well, I've never got, you know, like I said, if I could tell you the whole of it, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because my 23-year-old is just like what happened the other day. But I did want to say, you know, you're talking about that anticipatory grief. And she was talking about the lady's husband who died in front of the elevator, and I have to say that when we found out there was nothing more we could do for my mom, we were expecting them to tell us she had 6 months to a year left, and the doctor said that she had weeks to months left. Now, she's got small cell lung cancer, and that's one of the worst types of lung cancers you can have. And when they told us that, I think I came home and I cried the whole day, and I've been crying. It's like my mom has having me do the funeral pre-plan the funeral arrangements and everything, you know, and I'm trying to do it while she's alive, and I'm like, I can't fathom that. And so I've been doing a lot of that, but I have looked at my husband, and the whole time I had told my husband, you know, I want to know ahead of time before my mom and dad dies. And now I'm wondering if it would be best if I didn't know. Because, you know, you have to wonder sometimes, is it better if you don't know? Because knowing is killing me. Knowing that she's going to die, but we don't know when. I think that's one of the hardest parts of being a caregiver for someone who's at the end stage of life. You're waiting. I hate to say it, but you're sitting there waiting for that one phone call. You know, and it's, that's one of the hardest things.
And there's got to be guilt. I guess I would just imagine there's just got to be guilt, too, where you it's almost like, you know, nobody wants them to go, but it's like, gosh, you know, you want their pain to end. And then at some point, like you said, Adrian, at some point you're, you know, you got to start your life. So there's probably just such a bunch of guilt and everything else around that.
Exactly.
It's very, I mean, it's very complicated.
It is. And like I'm supposed to have another surgery and we have to fundraise for it because we've already used my husband's whole retirement for mine. And I'm even putting off my surgery. You know, I'm putting off my own health, and I know I shouldn't. But you only have one mom. And, yes, you know, I know I'm a mother, but I'm putting off my own health, you know, my own surgeries, because I'm not going to go to California to have surgery and be stuck out there and something happens to her. And so you are thinking, okay, all she does is sleep, and she does this, and well, she'll be better off because of this and because of that. And then I'm like, I'm the horriblest, most terrible person in the world for thinking that.
There are so many people who carry around that guilt because they're going like, oh, when already? You know, the process is so painful. You know that it's going to end, and you love that person, and yet you want it to happen.
Exactly.
You want their pain over.
Exactly. And I don't know how y'all feel, and I know this could be a whole other topic. It could be a 3-hour topic for another show.
But, right.
I feel I'm very strong in strong opinion for the death with dignity. I am very for it, and we don't have it here in Georgia. We don't even have a bill in process for it. I've been trying to work with some people to try to get it because I know that, you know, if this cancer spreads to my mom, to the brain where it lung cancer normally does, she'll start having seizures and strokes and all that. And me, being the way that I am, I would rather go out on my terms with no pain, before the pain got bad, before I didn't know my family.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like that. And I don't want to have, my mom's going to have to suffer. She's going to have to suffer because hospice can't really help you with all that.
But Georgia, even Georgia has advanced directives, and you can dictate quite a lot of things. Like my mother had dementia, and she just had a little problem swallowing after she went into the hospital. And I told the doctor, I said, listen, she's been hanging on for 5 years. She's ready to go. So I want you to use any excuse you can to withhold feeding, withhold nutrition. And he did.
Exactly.
And boom, she was gone a day later. So, I mean, you don't need a bill like that. Anything.
Do that too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we're up on a break. Thank you so much for coming on, Phoenix.
And, I'm so glad I found this. I needed this so bad.
Well, spread the word. Spread the word. And after the break, I'd like Alexandra.
Go to the caregiver space and share your story, too.
I'm going to send my dad there, and hopefully I can get him to come on and listen next week.
Cool.
Good. All right, thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg, my co-host, and Daryl Gurney and Alexandra. I don't remember her last name.
Lemon.
What is it?
Lemon.
Like the lemon we eat, or
Levin.
Oh, Levin. Like the Jews do when they during Passover.
But not spelled that way.
Yeah.
So any comments on Phoenix's situation, guys? Because here's a really, tough situation. And what kind of advice do you give to her? My gosh.
Alexandra?
Well, yes. So...
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, and that's fine. Listen,
if you don't know what to say, I'm sure Adrian can think of something.
Yeah. No.
Well, I have thoughts. Every single
situation like that, every single person that we meet is going to be different, is going to have different specific challenges. And what I would recommend to do in a situation like that is start looking at your life, start looking at different pieces of what's happened in the past that has made some major impact on you and how you are today, what is going on now that's having a major impact on your life today. And we have a process that we go through in the Infuse program where our participants actually answer a series of questions and look at what we call serious and significant events in their life and create how these events were designed the way we had talked about before for them to be where they are today and to get whatever it is that they can get today and create whatever they can going forward. We really have no limits regardless of the challenges and the illnesses, and taking care of loved ones provides certain challenges and makes things more difficult. And at the same time, there really are no limits of us creating an exciting and radical and passionate life at any moment going forward. So what I would recommend is this process, go through, look at the serious and significant events in the past and now, see what you've learned from them, and use that to move on.
There's a, Dave, there's a choice that everybody has to make. Life is going to happen. And, you know, hearing from, you know, her about what she's facing, you know, it's tough stuff, okay? And the choice that we all have to make is, are we going to be at the effect of the way life is coming? Or can we stand in, even if we have to make it up at first, can we stand in having something to say about it, like being cause in the matter? Because, look, life's going to happen. Neither one of these are true. It's not true that we're a victim, and it's not true that we're cause in the matter either. But one of them empowers you, and the other one doesn't. And so what we seek to do, no matter what the tragedy is to support people to be empowered in the face of life as it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Adrian?
I think that makes a lot of sense. For someone like Phoenix, knowing that instead of feeling that there's nothing that she can do, she has to stay there with her mother, she's choosing to stay there with her mother. That's her power. She's made that decision. She hasn't made the decision that she's ill, but I think she has to get to the point where she evaluates, as you said, what her gifts are now. And I don't think that she sees a way to use those gifts yet. I really feel that she has to examine what is good in her life.
Can I offer one thing? And this is just a little shortcut kind of thing. And it sounds crazy, okay? When I used to lead layoff workshops during the Great Recession, people had been laid off. And I would say to them, look, you can have it that you're a victim to this. If you want to have power, you're going to have to get on the other side of the curve and start looking at possibility. And a little quick trick to get there is to look at what are 20 reasons why this is the best thing that could have ever happened. Now, again, for Phoenix, you know, that's a crazy proposition, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying any of it's good, but I'm saying what it does is it starts to shift your thinking. Because if you can start looking for the blessings, if you can start looking at what's coming out of this, you at least start getting your mind going a different direction, and therefore you attract different experiences.
The attitude of gratitude and the law of attraction. Listen, I can't believe the time is gone. Where has it gone?
Gosh.
probably with technical difficulties. So in the last couple of minutes, why don't you tell us how someone can contact you? How can they learn more about what you do?
Well, we are launching our programs in a bigger way this year. We have a page up right now at theback40.com. So if you go to the back 40, that's F-O-R-T-Y, T-H-E-B-A-C-K-F-O-R-T-Y.com. You can see a video there of some of the programs we did last year. There's some other radio interviews there. And so it'll give people a good sense of what we're up to. We have our next program coming up here in L.A. on April 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Lux Sunset Boulevard Hotel. Great hotel, because we want people to experience what their second half's going to be. It's been pretty dang great.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks again. And a reminder to everybody, this is our first Blab. So we hope to get a whole bunch of new people off of Blab. And we're so excited that Phoenix and there was some other person that happened to stroll in. So we're excited about that. And again, 1 o'clock every Tuesday Pacific time on HealthStar Worldwide Network and Blab. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on HealthStar Worldwide.